My name is Zala. I am a Slovene, born and raised in Slovenia. Actually, all my relatives live, except my brother, live like 10 kilometers apart. We did the DNA test. My brother did. It was so boring. We knew everything. So like, I'm a hardcore Slovene. So 15 years ago, I wanted to learn English. I went to an English camp. Had no idea. We'll talk about Christ at camp. And my first year, I didn't care. I was just like, whatever. And then my second year, evening program where the gospel was shared was my favorite part of camp. And it wasn't a moment when I accepted Christ. It was a longer period. And it was people meeting with me, asking me lots of good questions, investing time with me. And then at one point I looked back and I was like, I believe in God and I believe this is true. And Lord, I am following you 100%. And then 6 years ago, I joined an organization called Josiah Venture. So we work in 16 different countries and our main focus are young people. So discipling young people through a local church, and we want to see a movement of God among Central and Eastern Europe, among youth. And we want to see a transformed society. So that's why I'm here even today, hopefully to get you more excited even for youth ministry. But as I was, you know, in youth ministry, I basically stumbled upon coaching. I just wanted to be more equipped. So I 3 years ago, I was introduced to coaching. I did a program, one-year coaching program, and I loved it. And it transformed how I engage with young people. And these are and today we'll go through some of the lessons that I've learned, some of the things that I started to some of the tools that I started to use in youth ministry. And I'll share it with you, and hopefully it will help you as well. We will look at what coaching is. What does the Bible say about coaching, and how can I use coaching principles to lead, disciple, and disciple young people? One of the things is, at the end of this session, you will not be a professional coach. So sorry about that. Yeah, see you later. We will just look at some, we actually won't even look at the whole process of coaching, because one really key thing about life coaching is you cannot trick people into coaching. They actually need to agree to be coached when we talk about life coaching. But we will just look at some of the principles that coaching is using and that I started to use in everyday life as I lead and disciple young people. So just to clarify that, there are coaching principles. You will also see it's nothing new. We're not discovering warm water. but I think it's very important to have. So my goal for this session is to give you just some tools in your toolbox of how to connect and love well young people, but I think even one another. This doesn't apply just to young generation. First, let's see what coaching is not. I think that's it's good to know, to have that in mind so that we don't mix. But coaching is not mentoring. So for example, in youth ministry, this summer, I am a mentor at an English camp, and I am mentoring a girl, Sara. She's also here at ELF, and I'm teaching her and mentoring how to lead English camp. Like, I have more knowledge than she does, and I'm sharing my knowledge with her. So that's not coaching, that's mentoring. The second one, coaching is not counseling. Like, right now, I am going through biblical counseling, for example, and we are looking a lot about my childhood and looking back on how certain things are affecting my present. So this is also not coach, at least life coaching. And there are also other methods like giving advice. So now the question is, what is coaching? Any thoughts, or like maybe those of you who've done some of the coaching, too fast. What is coaching? Any thoughts? Helping other people achieve their potential. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Really good. Any other thoughts? What's coaching?
Maybe helping people establish their goals and then helping them think through the process how they're going to get there.
Yes, exactly. And did you hear both times? It was like helping them achieve something, helping them achieve potential goals. So one of the things with coaching, it's focusing a lot on not like, let me give you my knowledge, but it's coaching the person, not the problem that they have. It's more like, okay, they come with a problem. It's more like, how does that affect you? What does that mean? Where is this, like, it's very much seeing the person and not just seeing the problem. It's also very much looking forward and not backwards. So for example, in counseling, you look at your childhood, like one of the counselings, but like is how does the past affect me in the present? With coaching, it's very much looking forward, like looking at the potential, at the goals. So it's very much looking forward. And in the beginning, you know, we said coaching is not mentoring, it's not counseling. Both of these methods are so crucial and important when we walk with young people or anyone in the church or outside of the church. So coaching is just another method. Nothing is better, nothing is worse. It's just different. And for different situations, we need different techniques. It's helping young people connect head to the heart. It's very short distance, but sometimes it's the longest path, as we all know. And it's very much helping them to mature and not depend on us. So when they come with us, when the young people come to us with a problem, we don't just give them the solution, but we help them find their own solution. So it's the focus is a lot on them, not just me telling them what to do. Sometimes we need to do that too, but that's not coaching. Okay? So that's just a little bit of what coaching is. And I want to share a little bit of example so that it's not me just talking about principles. But why I stumbled onto coaching is I had, like, I was just like, I'm missing out on people. I feel like they talk to me, but I'm missing out on them. And there's one guy in our church. And a couple of years ago, when I took over high school ministry in our local church, we were in desperate need of male leaders. And long story short, but we didn't really have anyone. We have just this one guy who was really quiet. And I was like, okay, Lord, this is the one, you know, one person. I'll ask him to help with the youth ministry. And for the first year, every single meeting we had, he only had two responses. Like whatever I asked him, he said, I don't know. Or he repeated the answer that was said before him. And I don't know about you guys, but after a year, I was pretty frustrated because I was like, we need your voice. Can you please share like what you think? And I felt very stuck. And that's when I stumbled upon coaching. And I won't finish the story right now because I want you to walk you through all the process of what coaching is and the principles to finish. But this is just an example that I wanted to start with to see how important it is to start using these principles. So we'll go to the first principle. And the first one is asking questions. Again, nothing new. What about this question? Do you think you should talk to your friend about that? So this is the same question. You just erase your thing, and it's actually a statement. And sometimes statements are, you know, we should make a statement, but it's not a question that explores, like, tell me what you think, or it's not addressing the heart, it's telling them what to do. And today we're talking about addressing the heart and not telling them what to do. Okay. And another example that I want to give with just why open questions are so important, and it's a very dear example for me. A year ago or so, I was walking with my 4-year-old niece. So I come from a non-Christian family, but I have a blessing to talk about Christ with my nieces and nephews. And I was walking with my niece, and she's been hearing about Christ. We've been reading the Bible, and we're on a walk, and she asks me, Zala, what does the rib cage protect? And I, you know, I started thinking through answers, and then I actually stopped because I'm learning all about asking questions. And I asked her, what do you think? And she started, well, it protects my lungs. And then she said, and it protects my heart. And then she stopped and she said, no, because if I believe in Jesus, Jesus is in my heart and Jesus protects my heart. So then I don't need the rib cage to protect my heart. So it's a very silly example. We still need rib cage, but because I didn't give her immediate answer, the rib cage protects this and this and this, she still needs that knowledge. And hopefully as in life, it's an important information. But because I didn't give her answer right away, I got to hear her heart and what she's thinking and what she's processing as she's hearing about Christ. And all of a sudden, it wasn't just about the ribs, it was about what she believes about Christ. And all I did was just ask her back, what do you think? And that's the point of this session, that we start to be thinking more about questions and even responding with questions so that we can get to conversations like this. With coaching, it's all about their agenda and where they're going. And with the principles, as we're discipling young people, we still want them to point to Christ. So then it is a difference. And that's why we're talking today about coaching principles that we can use to disciple, not coaching per se. Does that make sense? So it's actually, we're going now deeper, like what are we even trying to aim or where do we try to take them? Okay, so this is the first principle, is asking good questions. And as we said, yes, no questions. I would try to avoid leading questions. This is very much a leading question because it's already, it's a statement, you should do this. But these are if you remember these two, to try to avoid them in general, sometimes there is a place and a time to use those, but 90% of the time, I would say don't use those as you disciple young people. Next principle, again, nothing new, is listening. So they came to you, they shared a problem, you asked them a question, and now it's time to listen. When I started the coaching program, one of the very first homeworks that I got is that the next time I talk to a friend or a young person, I just listen for 10 minutes. And I don't interrupt. Or they are talking for 8 minutes and now 2 minutes silence. Like I can still respond with a question, but I'm really listening. And my friend, at first she was like, what's wrong with you? Like, what are you doing? Because before I was interrupting people, I would be really quick with suggestions. And I was just talking with this friend a month ago. I asked her, hey, how can I be a better friend? Or what are you, that was another conversation. I was doing homework for another thing. And the question was what would your friend say that it's important to you? And then she shared, you actually, in the last 3 years, you really changed a lot. And it's really important for you that people listen well. And you, because you started to learn how to listen better. I'm still learning. But it's being listened to and not interrupt is so important. So I would actually give you a homework or a challenge or whatever that is. Try to listen more and not just be quick with suggestions and listening more. It's also giving, asking another question, and don't just focus on the problem. Try to go a little bit deeper. And also listening well, I can be quiet and I can look someone in the eyes, but I can then in my mind be making checklists. I can be thinking about tomorrow, or even right now I could be thinking, oh, what's next and what I need to say. When we listen, we really need to start practicing being actually present and with the person. And as young people, they know if you're not present. And I would even say, like, if you're really like being present, that means putting phone away too. So I now, when I meet with young people, majority of the time, I forget sometimes, I very intentionally do not put my phone on the table. I leave it in my pocket or in my backpack, because otherwise, even if it's turned around, it's still there. So I would say when you have intentional conversations, try to put your phone away. Not try, please. Or try and do that, and then you'll see the difference on how much more we can be present. But with listening, it's like not interrupting, listening well, asking good questions, and being present. And that is a skill that we can learn. It takes some training not to be with my thoughts somewhere else, especially in nowadays world where we're bombarded with so many things and we're so busy. But let's try to be as present as possible. It does change things. So that's with listening. And here I'll continue now the story that I started before. So about that guy who would just respond with, I don't know, and whatever the person in front of him said. So when I started coaching, I had to do some coaching lessons too. So I asked a couple of people if they would be willing that I learn on them how to coach. And he was one of them where he said, I would love to do that. So we met for the first time. We started coaching and explained what it is. And then I asked him a question. And then it was complete silence. And the silence was like 10 seconds. I don't know how it's in your countries, but after 10 seconds, it can get awkward. I waited for 30 seconds. And then after a minute, I asked a yes-no question, but this one, it was on, like, it should be. I asked him, do you need more time? Like, are you thinking about the question and you need more time? And he said yes. I waited for 8 minutes. And it was a coaching environment, so I had time to do that. And actually, so we met 6 times. All 6 times, we were meeting them for 2 hours because it took a little bit longer, but I don't think there was one question that he answered below 5 minutes. I would ask him a question, and he would think, and he would be like, and like thinking and looking. And at the end of the coaching session, at the very beginning, I realized he's internal processor. He needs time to think. And when he says something, it is very well thought through. I'm a verbal processor, so when I start to think, so I'll just like blah, blah, blah. And some people appreciate that, some not so much. But I immediately thought, if he's not answering, then he's not engaged, he's not present. And when I look back, I wish I knew about coaching before, because I think in the beginning I was really missing him out because I didn't give enough space for him to think. It is also true that there is not always an environment where you can give a person 8 minutes to think through the question that you asked. But I think it is important that we do create a space where people can think, even those who are not verbal processors. So listening well is important, and giving more space, or even then asking follow-up question, do you need more time to think? And here's just like in James, it's like, be slow to speak, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We read this in James, and I think it's a really, really good, and for me, convicting verse to do that every day. Okay, and now we have the third principle. So the first one is asking questions. Second one is listening. And then the third one is keeping them accountable. How many times did you talk to someone and then the next time you talked about, you completely forgot what they were saying or what they were sharing, and you ask the same question and they would respond, I already told you that, or I don't know how about you, but that happened to me often. What I started to do is when I meet with young people, afterwards I write down sometimes if they're like what to even pray for them. And then the next time I meet with them, I can do a follow-up question. It is extremely, extremely important that we keep young people accountable, or anyone. And even that could be with, actually not with just young people, but with any generation. It's so, I don't know about you guys, but I feel so loved when sometimes a person comes to me and says, hey, does a follow-up question of like, hey, we talked about this a week ago. How is it going? Or I've been praying for you. Can you share more? There are people that, like, I go to different conferences, and one time there was a person after a year asked, hey, how are you doing in this area? So that was a long time, but I think it's so crucial that we ask questions, we listen well, but we also do follow up, and we keep people accountable to even what they said. And we'll talk a little bit more about this principle in practice when we'll come to the youth ministry. But it's so important to follow up and keep people accountable, or ask how they're doing. And these are some of the questions that Jesus asked. So he said, so what do you want me to do for you? That's a very specific question. What about you? Who do you say I am? Who do people say that I am? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do a small thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Do you want to get well? It's a yes-no question, but I think very much to a point. Do you, like, so these are all yes and no questions. Do you believe that I can do this? Do you love me? When you'll be reading through the Gospels, pay attention to the questions that Jesus is asking. They're very powerful questions. And look at also the responses that the people, how people are responding to questions. There are so many times when people ask Jesus a question and he responds with a question. But as I was looking through the questions that Jesus asked, I came to a conclusion that Jesus had a different purpose when he was asking questions than I usually do. I usually ask questions to get information, which, again, that's not a wrong thing. We need information. We need a yes and no questions. But as I was looking through the questions that Jesus was asking, I think he was asking these questions to engage, to connect, to like address the heart of a person, and to not stay at the surface level, but go much, much deeper. And I think he also used the questions to teach and to transform people's hearts. So I today want to expand a little bit more of how we ask questions and why we ask questions, not just to get information, but let's start looking more to Jesus, the questions that he was asking, and how he was responding, when and how people were responding to his questions. Questions can be very powerful. But here I'll also add that if we don't love the person that we're asking questions, the questions can be very hurtful as well. And Jesus is after our own, like after our hearts. And as we disciple young people or old people, I think it first needs to start with loving the person that we're asking questions or that we are in relationship with, that we're listening to, that we're keeping them accountable. Because otherwise questions can really quickly go from having a tool to manipulation or even being hurtful. So the bottom to all these principles is love, as always. Otherwise it can go sideways really, really quickly. And Jesus was not always, I would say, the nicest in our terms with questions. Sometimes he was very sharp. But I do believe he was always loving, because he saw the big picture. So I think with all the questions and principles that we shared today, it needs to start with loving that person. And if we are struggling with that, sometimes I pray, Lord, give me more love to this person because I can't, like, I'm frustrated and I'm angry or I'm hurt. And I give me love for this person so that I can engage more. So one of the two prayers that I've started to pray is, help me love this person more, and how can I be obedient in this relationship to you, Jesus? And then the tools that we're talking about today and these skills can point them to Jesus. And then it's not just about us or about them, but it's pointing them to Jesus. And just one clarification, the coaching expression is not found in the Bible. I don't think Jesus was a coach. but again, like, we're talking about the principles or some tools today and asking questions. He was a master of asking questions. And that's the foundation for coaching. That's why we're talking about today, asking questions. Applications for youth ministry. I found this very interesting, but the average four-year-old asks 300 questions a day, and the average college graduate asks 20. So I think we need to start, even us, because, I mean, we're, you know, we need to start, learn how to ask more questions, and I think even teach them to start asking more questions. But I found that very, very interesting. One of the things, a very practical principles that I want to share with you that we started to use in our church, and it's been very, very fruitful, is that we started, so because of COVID, it was a long time coming, but because of COVID, we had to change our ministries from, you know, big group gatherings to small groups. And how we did that is that we decided that all small groups will be based on asking questions. So we started to use a three-thirds model, and here, the next slide actually says some of the, like, examples of the questions. But now most of our youth, our small groups, like, we would read a chapter or five chapters, whatever that is, per week. And then we would just ask questions to one another. And the beauty with this question is that it doesn't matter where you are with your walk with the Lord, anyone can lead this small group or can ask these questions. Or in my small group, every week someone else leads the conversation. And we always look back on, like, how was your week? So you see the first two questions are very relational to engage with them. And then the next four, look up. So the next four questions are addressing what we're reading in the Bible. And then the last two questions are how, like, then taking the next step of, we've read this, now what does that mean? How will we imply this into our lives? And then the next week on look back, we also ask, hey, how did it go? So to keep them accountable. So it's asking questions, listening to one another, and keeping them accountable. What's the goal here? To get to know Christ better and to connect with, like, it's basically to build community. So that's the relational piece, but to get to know Christ of the Bible better. And even we have small groups with non-believers, and we ask them, like, basically for them to commit to this small group, it's, would you like to get to know more of what the Bible says about Jesus? And if their answer is yes, then they start to read Bible with us. But that's the end goal. So relational and like getting to know God of the Bible better. But that's just one of the principles that we used with asking questions, listening, and keeping people accountable in our church. And there's also, actually, if you would be interested more in this, the organization that I work for, they actually did an app. So it's called Seek App. You can find it on iPhone, the iStore and the Apple Store and the Google Store. And you can download it for free, and you can use it with, you know, your people or your young people. And what's really cool, why we decided to do an app, is because people, you know, young people are on apps all the time. So we decided to make an app for that. So that's just, if it's helpful for you, you can use it. And it's built mostly for youth, young people. So you would choose a topic, then there would be scripture, and then you would discuss the scripture based on the questions that I had shared. And you can even change questions. It doesn't need to be that it's just those. But one of the things with young people is being heard is so close to being loved that for the most people, these two are almost indistinguishable. So with young people, especially nowadays, they're hearing a lot of things. They're hearing a lot of information from the world and on social media, on the internet. I think nowadays, it's not so much us teaching them what to do because they're hearing from lots of different sorts, but it's listening to them, asking them questions and helping them navigate through all the information that they're already receiving. So I'll address all the time, like, keep listening to young people in your life. Another one that I just wanted to address is there is a lot of different statistics, and I had a whole 1 hour and 15 session just on doubt with at the Discipleship Network. So I'll try to sum it up in two sentences, but there is a lot of different statistics. It's mostly for United States, but 2/3 of people of young people who grew up in church walk away from church when they go to college. 2/3. That's a lot. And there's a lot of about deconstruction of faith, a lot like being doubtful and critical and questioning everything you were brought up is very popular nowadays. And I think even in this topic, if we go back to doubt, if we go back to asking them questions, it usually bottles down to pain or to unforgiveness or to not being heard. So I would even say with this topic, as we are discussing with young people, keep asking questions and help them navigate through hard times that are around us today. So keep asking them questions, even like, why are you asking this question? What brought this question up? I have one girl that I've been discipling for 2 years now. She's studying now in Portugal, but she's just like, hey, can we talk? And she started to share a little bit, and like she was just going in circles. And then I asked her a question: what are you missing? Like, you're in a different country. What are you missing? And her immediate response was peace. And then we got to talk more about peace. Where is she looking for peace? What does it mean? What does the Bible say about peace? And we had a wonderful conversation. But she was seeking for attention. She didn't really know what's happening. But as soon as I asked her an open question, like, she immediately knew the answer. So as we're talking, as we're engaging with young people, and especially doubt that it's so present these days, keep asking questions where it's coming from. Because usually it does, like, not always, but oftentimes it comes down to pain and or unforgiveness.